due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, now's the time to hit record. Because I, Paul Heyman, stand before you this evening, and I give to you the newest Paul Heyman guy!
I'm CM Punk, and you are listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you!
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for May 25th. A couple holidays today. It's International Jazz Day.
Jazz, man.
National Missing Children's Day. And Tap Dance Day. I don't know. And tomorrow, of course, is Memorial Day. This is Memorial Day weekend. We are celebrating it, honoring it on Monday. So keep all the vets who sacrificed their lives for this country in your minds, thoughts and minds, and be safe this weekend. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. Join us tonight for UFC 160 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 Eastridge Road. UFC heavyweight champion Cain Velasquez defends his belt against Antonio Bigfoot Silva. 10 p.m. start time, so get there early. It's going to be hosted by us. We'll have prizes and drink specials all night long. That's tonight at Salvatore's, 149 Eastridge Road. UFC 160, two heavyweights in the main event. So it's going to be an exciting pay-per-view. And if you're waiting for the night, I want to thank everybody who came out last Sunday for WWE's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. That was a lot of fun. We had a really great crowd. And we're going to be back there for WWE's Payback pay-per-view, June 16th, once again at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. Not really sure what the card's going to be just yet, but come on down and join us. As it starts at 8 o'clock, we'll have stuff to give away, and it'll be a fun night had by all. And the best thing is, the money you would have spent on the pay-per-view, you're going to buy food and drink. And we have a wonderful service there. The guys are great there. You know, Chuck and Ray and the girls, what can I say about them? Best-looking waitresses and bartenders in Rochester. So join us. It's June 16th for WWE's Payback pay-per-view. And if you want to come out tonight, UFC 160, long weekend. It's just one of the days in the long weekend. We'll be out there and having a good time. Also, Niagara Falls Comic-Con's happening June 8th and 9th. Got a big guest in the second segment today from that. At the Scotiabank Convention Center, more than 100,000 square feet of exhibitors, movie screening, celebrities, and more. Come meet Adam West, Lou Ferrigno, Mick Foley, and even maybe the guy we're going to have on today, Ted DiBiase. He's going to be there, too, both days. And more. Lots of stuff. The Batcopter is going to be there. The Green Ranger. Is it the White Ranger?
It's both.
Saturday, he will be the Green Ranger. Sunday, he will be the White Ranger.
That's right. So if you're a Power Rangers fan, if you've ever grown up to them, you want to meet Tommy. He's an MMA fighter now, covered in tats, but he still looks like Tommy. He was the
dreamy one.
The dreamy one. Kimberly liked him, right? The
Pink Ranger?
I like Kimberly.
Yep. Second grade crush.
All right.
Amy Jo Johnson.
That's right. She lives in Toronto, by the way.
Does she?
Yes, she does.
Road trip.
She was in a TV show that was up in... I'll talk about you off the air. Never mind. Bill...
Nobody tells me anything.
Bill Graves. Yeah, I know. Amanda Bynes, you find out about today.
Hey-o!
Bill Graves is home of the world's greatest cheeseburger. Check out one of their 14 locations. Our favorite's the Strong Museum of Play, and our friend Jamie, who brought up chicken fingers this morning. I don't know.
I wish Amy Jo Johnson brought them up.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. But,
Amanda Bynes.
Where the fingers are on the chicken that they give us, but we had chicken fingers this morning. Something for everyone.
It's a giant chicken from Family Guy.
Yeah, that's right. There's something for everyone at Bill Grace. He makes a good fist. Something for everyone at Bill Grace.
Hey-o!
Find the nearest Bill Gray's to you online at
BillGrays.com.
All right. Welcome to the show. Yes, we're already in a goofy mood. Got here a little bit early, having a lot of fun.
What's up, Winnipeg?
Yeah, that's right, Matt.
Quest. All right. Quest now.
All right. I'm the Cash Man Richards.
I'm
here
looking
for
fun.
With DC Dan Cole. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
To his left, to your radio right, it's the Artiste. What's up, buddy?
Oh, you know, we're here extra early this morning.
That's
and,
excited. Got some food
I just,
today.
I just drank water out of a paper plate. Thanks to Salvatore's.
All right. And, thank you, Salvatore's.
Well, we're doing well.
Yeah, because there's no cups up here. I mean, there's some place there's got to be a cup up
No,
here.
There's really not.
Yeah.
I have searched far and wide.
Yeah, I hear you get trench mouth if you drink off of the faucets. So.
Maybe those people at Oldies 107.3 are hogging all the cups in their studio.
They may be. And, of course, the Artiste to the right is Danger Boy.
We've had way too much sugar up here this morning.
Yeah, we're having a good time.
I haven't had a brownie
well,
yet.
We're excited because Ted DiBiase is going to be up, but we got to get some news real quick before we, you know, break in and bring him on. A lot of things happened this past week. I think one of the biggest things was the new Paul Heyman guy we started the show with, Curtis Axel, which you might remember him a while ago as Michael McGillicuddy, which the name makes no sense whatsoever when he was Michael McGillicuddy. I think Curtis Axel has a little bit more relevance, being his dad was Kurt. Mr. Perfect, and his grandfather was Larry the Axe Henning, you know. So, but what do you guys think about it? I mean, this is obviously a good move for him. You know, it's going to propel him up. But, you know, I'm worrying about some of the other guys who are Paul Heyman guys too, like Brock Lesnar and CM Punk. Those guys certainly could be on TV now, especially when you see the ratings. And they felt that it was a good rating, and it didn't even bust three this week. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's good. It's really good for them that they're starting to, you know, they're promoting some of the newer guys. I mean, the Shield all have titles now. They got, you know, Curtis Axel coming out now. They're trying to get some new faces on there because they realize some of these guys, they're going to get banged up. They don't have any star power. They've got to build somebody.
And well, John Cena's there. You know,
he wasn't on TV this week.
Yeah, actually, he wasn't on TV this week, and actually, neither of the champions were on TV. No Dolph Ziggler either.
Dolph's got his concussion. You know, Punk's doing whatever Punk's doing. Brock Lesnar's on his part-time deal. They don't have Triple H isn't going to be on TV every week. He stumbled over and fell.
Well,
over.
I was going to remember that guy, The Rock. They put the belt on, and then he bailed.
Yeah, well, he got hurt, too.
Yeah, he got hurt, too.
Even if he was still with him, he probably...
He doesn't need to... How long was he on TV without even wrestling? He could be there.
Yeah, you know, you're right, but think about it. If he was still with the company full-time, he'd be out because he's hurt, so they wouldn't fly him in.
Hopefully he never comes back.
Now, you kind of drifted into the next topic I was going to mention briefly is the quote-unquote concussion Triple H portrayed. I remember Shawn Michaels doing much the same thing maybe about 8 years ago on TV. You know, where he stumbled and they made him stop. And
at least he didn't lose a smile.
Yeah, he had already lost it and gotten it back by that time, I think, you know.
Well, Sean had, but Triple H hasn't lost his yet.
No, so that, you know, this past week WWE had come out and, like, donated a whole bunch of money to the concussion group.
Like $1.2 million.
Yeah, to the group that, what was his name?
Chris Nowinski.
Chris Nowinski, the group that he founded to study concussions on the brain. And then I thought that was, you know, great. And then I don't understand the whole why they turn into a storyline the exact next day after I hear in that, you know?
Or how about the night before when Randy Orton kicks somebody in the head?
Yeah.
Little mixed messages being sent on WWE's part.
Yeah, you know, he kicked, and then that's the thing is, they said that Randy Orton won't be doing that often. They just said it got him over in St. Louis. He was in his hometown. And, you know, I mean, legitimately, nobody, you know, I mean, you have to make the big show. Something's got to happen to make him lose. It's just not like, you know, because
Akebono didn't have a problem with that.
No, that's true. That's true. true. But, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, right now they're building a storyline for Triple H wanting to come back and wrestle and his family wanting him not to. And we'll see how that plays out on TV. That's what they say, at least. Who knows? I mean, depends on how, you know, he almost got the same kind of reaction he got when he tried to, you know, pretend he was retiring.
And no one cared.
And no one cared. You know, and
does that mean they're going to do it again next week?
Probably.
I don't know where we're going after this with that, but, you know, 222-1280, Star-1280 is the number.
Have him go nuts like Cactus Jack did back in WCW. He can come out as Fandango next week.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
All right, we got Rick from Rochester. Rick, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, gang. How you doing today?
Doing good.
Good. A few things I'd like to point out. First of all, Richie, where's my show on Saturday morning, bro? I'm missing it.
What's that?
Saturday Morning Slam.
Oh, yeah, Saturday morning.
On hiatus till the fall.
Yeah, they stopped taping them about 3 weeks ago, and it may come back, it may not. They have to negotiate.
No, they said it's coming back.
Oh, it's coming
back? It's going to come back in September. It's going to run like a normal TV show with the...
Yeah, so don't worry. You're going to get your...
All right,
we beat them in the ratings.
Yeah. In the morning.
Yeah. You're going to get your Justice League 2, don't worry. Yeah. You're going to get your Tom and Jerry before that. I know what you do on Saturday. I know what you do on Saturday morning.
Tom and Jerry.
Hey, speaking of the convention, is the Care Bears. Bob going to be there?
Is who?
Ranger Bob going to be there?
Ranger, this is the convention
Ranger
we're talking about in Niagara Falls, man. I don't know if Ranger Bob, anyone knows who he is. Anyone, you guys know who Ranger Bob is?
Was he on Yogi?
I know Richie knows who he is.
I know who he is, but
I think
Tim
of Ranger
Kincaid.
Joe in Full House.
I was actually on a TV show when I was a kid.
Yeah, maybe they used to play TV POW. It was on WUHF.
Yeah, back in the 80s. I was on that show.
Yeah, when it first came on, they had a guy who would host cartoon shows. See, Rick, you're making it look worse when I'm making fun of you for watching cartoons, and then you bring up Ranger
Bob. I'm showing my age now.
You certainly are. Ready to go, folks, go
ahead. And speaking of NXT, what do you think NXT is going to develop with the signing of GQ Money?
And what are they going to develop with the signing of GQ Money? I mean, you know, they just unloaded a bunch of people who weren't doing anything in the company in NXT, and they're going to be unloading a bunch more who aren't doing anything, and they're signing a bunch of other people. So I don't know. I mean, they're about to move to a new facility in Orlando, I think they said it was.
Yes.
It's a huge facility.
I think at the beginning of July.
They're bringing in some fresh blood. The thing is, oh, our guy's doing great there, so I'm not going to say anything. I mean, he's a tag champ right now there, so hopefully they'll be bringing him up soon to the main roster. But, I don't know what they're going with it. I mean, they're trying to make it more of a true developmental where they have a lot more guys to work with instead of just, right now they have maybe 50 down there, I think. They want to make that number a lot bigger. So
it'll never be like the power plant was back in the day.
Yeah, the power plant really wasn't a feeder. It was just, I mean, it trained them, yes, but, I mean, I don't
know. Not that many people came through the power plant.
Yeah, OVW was the one that really spawned a lot of superstars. So, and that's still around and working with TNA now, so.
Right. Yeah. Now, about ROH, now that Mikey Bondo, former Spear Squad guy, got released, do you think you'll see him in TNA or back in WWE in the next couple months?
Well, he might be a gut check guy on TNA. I wouldn't be surprised. We'll see. I don't know. The guys want to keep getting paychecks, so they're going to try to get anywhere they can in, you know. And he has avenues in WWE. He was there before, so, you know. I'm not sure exactly.
Now, I was thinking about your point you made when Shield came out and talked about Dean Ambrose. Yeah, I think he is the backbone of the Shield, man. That guy's a good worker.
Oh yeah, I mean you saw that with the one-on-one with Kofi. I mean,
yeah, he's a good worker. And he's definitely good on the mic. I think he's the glue that holds the Shield together in the ring.
You know, a real test of a really great wrestler is a guy who can go and wrestle for 20 minutes and then cut a promo immediately after. You know, I mean, just because you just exhausted yourself physically. So, I mean, and he's a guy who can do stuff like that. He's a great talker, too. He's got a lot of psychology. And a lot of the guys have worked with him in the past that, you know, were up near the top of the WWE. Like guys like CM Punk's worked with him, you know, in the past.
Where did he come from before besides, the lower levels? I mean, was he an independent wrestler for a while?
Oh, yeah. Was
John Moxley.
Yeah, John Moxley. He worked with Ring of Honor. He worked with
Evolve,
yeah,
Dragon Gate.
Yeah, he was a... he was a
Gabe guy,
a Gabe prodigy guy. So, you know, Gabe could pick guys and know they were going to do something. And he's one of those guys that's like that.
And last thing, about TNA, I could smell that thing from AJ Styles a mile away, what he was going to do when he, you know, put on the colors, you know, so to speak, and then, you know, turn his back on him, you know what I mean?
Sting did the same exact thing 10 years ago?
The goth AJ, yeah, you know, the Peter Parker goth from Spider-Man 3.
Yeah,
that's what he looks like, you know, but
he's Venom?
Well, yeah, but listen, he did hit Kurt Angle with a hammer first, and then he started, and then they all turned their back on him, and he looked like he was playing the xylophones on the back of Aces and Eights there, you know? He started banging everyone. So, and as the announcer says, AJ Styles truly stands alone.
So, and I was looking forward to the Sam Shaw Alex Silva match, but apparently Silva had some traveling issues.
Yeah,
but I would like to see that match.
It's going
to
happen, I think, on the pay-per-view, man. We got to go to break.
All right, man. You guys have a good day.
You do your... Oh, I wanted to dance a little bit before we went to break.
No, you don't.
All right, we got to go to break. We got to get Ted DiBiase on the flip side. You are listening to Pain Clinic on Sports. Oh, by the way, we're going to give away some more of those Comic-Con tickets right after the Ted DiBiase interview, so stick by your phone. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
jokes? The SEAL took us to the woodshed last night. How can you sit here and make jokes?
Because I'm confident. And you should be, too. We get a rematch with the SEAL, Daniel. But if we want the chance at getting titles back, you can't show any weakness. The SEAL preys on vulnerability.
Go ahead, AJ. You're going to see me at Slammiversary anyway. You want to be a part of this group? Is this what you want? It's exactly what he wants. I only need one chance to get this done, Hulk. And to be quite honest, if I don't take the title and take the pride, if I don't take, oh my gosh, I want this to happen so bad, I can't even talk right now.
We have taken his father, Mr. Perfect's given name, Kurt, and we have paid homage to his grandfather, the legendary Larry the Axe Hennig. And we have bestowed upon this man a new name, a new brand that will forever be known around the WWE Universe as Curtis Axel!
Hey guys, this is Mickey James, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on WHTK. Feel the pain.
All right, welcome back to The Pain Clinic. I'm the Cashman here with DC Dan Cole. Everybody's got a price, and the Artiste and Danger Boy, and we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Join us tonight for UFC 160 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. UFC heavyweight champion Cain Velasquez defends his belt against Antonio Bigfoot Silva. 10 p.m. start time, so get there early. It's going to be hosted by us. Prizes and drink specials all night long. That's tonight at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road, UFC 160. We got to get to our guest on the phone. He's got a flight to fly, so let's get him
on. Joining us this morning is a second-generation wrestler, a 2010 WWE Hall of Fame inductee, three-time WWF Tag Team Champion, and the 1988 King of the Ring Champion. He was the fourth member of the NWO, and he's in Niagara Falls June 8th and 9th for the Niagara Falls Comic-Con. Let's welcome the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, back to the Pain Clinic. Thanks so much for the time today, Ted.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys.
We last saw you in this area back in March for the Old School Raw, and as you managed the primetime players. Yeah, that was kind of fun. Do you enjoy coming back on occasion and helping out with the WWE when they need the Million Dollar Man?
Absolutely. I am on a, I guess what they would call a nostalgia or legends contract, where they call on me from time to time to make special appearances, whether it's a cameo appearance on the show or a charity event of some kind, and I'm more than happy to accommodate them. And the other thing is that, you know, it keeps my face out there. You know, it lets people know that I'm still around, and which only enhances what I continue to do. And my vocation in life now is a minister. It opens doors of opportunity for me.
Very cool. Well, I forgot to introduce. I'm the Cash Man, by the way, and we have on the crew with us this morning Danger Boy, Artiste, and Dan Cole, DC. DC, you want to ask a question?
Oh, boy, do I. try not to geek out. My favorite pro wrestler's on the phone. I recently heard an interview you did with Colt Cabana, and you were talking about, you know, when you were first approached by Vince McMahon, and, you know, he wouldn't reveal to you any details about the proposed character until you actually agreed, you know, to the contract with the, at, you know, at the time, WWF. What were your thoughts when Vince revealed this, you know, all expenses paid, first class stipend? Did you think Vince was like having a laugh with you, or were you thinking, holy crap, I just hit the jackpot?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Holy crap, I just hit the jackpot. As a matter of fact, I remember when I got back, you know, my wife the first time I went up to meet with him, basically what he told me was that he had an idea. And that, it, you know, this is like, there's so many things in wrestling that have been done and redone, but this had never been done. It was a fresh idea, and he just simply thought that I was the guy that could pull it off. And, but that's when he said, look, I you know, all I can tell you is that, you'll love it. And he says, and I would tell you all this. I would also tell you this is that, you know, if you don't do it, you'll probably regret it. And he says, but I can't reveal it to you until you agree to come on board. He says, because I don't want to give away a great idea and see it show up somewhere else. And I understood that. So I didn't, that was the first meeting. And I actually went home. I said, well, I need to talk this over with my wife. And you know, the people that have mentored me. And of course, the main mentor I had at the time was a guy named Terry Funk. And Terry, although a lot of people think he's wild and crazy, is probably one of the smartest guys in the business. You know, he's crazy because he wants everybody to think he is. But he said, if Vince has something for you, Ted, he said, and he says it's unique and different. He says, pack your bags and go. Don't look back. So I called Vince and I said, okay, Vince, I'm your guy. You know, I'm on board. So what is it? He said, no. I'm not going to tell you over the phone. So he flies me and my wife back to New York, you know, and, you know, again, the limousine treatment, up to Connecticut. And so my wife was being entertained by someone else in the office while I'm sitting down and having this conversation. And I remember one of the things that, when Vince left the room, that Pat Patterson said, he had to go take a call, excused himself. Pat, who was Vince's right-hand man, looks at me and he goes, Ted, he says, listen. He said, if Vince were to climb in the ring and become a character, this is it. He said, it's like his alter ego. You know, it's like if he could be a character, this is who he'd be. And he says, how hard do you think he's gonna push this thing? And, of course, that just was icing on the cake for me. And so then when he did reveal, I was like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding? Because you know, I remember him saying, he says, you know, and we're going to, even though, you know, we've announced the whole world that we are sports entertainment, we're going to try to make the public believe that you're really rich. And I said, how are you going to do that? He said, we're going to fly everywhere first class. First class airfare, limousine treatment. In other words, every time you get off a plane at an airport, you know, and you're going to a hotel or you're going to the Coliseum or you're going back to the hotel or back to the airport, it's going to be a limousine. And he said, no more Red Roof Inns, man, it's going to be the Hilton, the Hyatt, and the Marriott. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, I remember, and then he had somebody walks in the room and counts out $2,000 in brand new $100 bills and lays them in my palm. He said, here's your flash cash. And he says, here's what I want you to do. He said, now you got to, you know, he says, this is the honor system. He says, now if you abuse it, you lose it. He says, but pick your spot somewhere where you're having breakfast or lunch or whatever, and you just stand up and announce yourself and say, hey, you know what? I'm Ted DiBiase, the $1 Million Man. And just to show everybody that I'm not really as bad as everybody thinks I am, I'm picking up the tab here for everybody and do it. You know, and then, you know, he says, get the receipt, bring it back to the office, and we'll reimburse it. We'll keep the cash flow. And I was like, oh my gosh. Now, my wife, when I waited till I got in the car. Of course, and the other thing he did, you know, he sent my wife and I to Manhattan, you know, and I think it was the Helmsley Palace he put us in, and like for a week. He says, go start living life. So, you know, Helmsley Palace, you know, it's dinner anywhere you want in Manhattan. And the theater or play of your choice. And I was like, when I told my wife, I said, pinch me. I said, because, this can't be real. I said, man, did our ship just come in? It's unbelievable. And of course, you know, the other thing I was thinking is like, man, what is everybody else going to think about this?
Yeah. What about the boys in the back?
What about all the other guys, you know? And there was some of that, but not really, because they all understood this. You know, if Vince had offered it to them, they'd have done it too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, because at that time, the only guys riding around in limousines and getting first class treatment were Hogan and Andre. And of course, you know, it's a lot more common now. We got guys in the company now that have their own tour buses. You know, I never had that. You know, forget about the limousine. I never had my own tour bus.
That's very, very cool. Now, you know, well, your son currently is in the WWE, Ted Jr., and we haven't really seen him much lately. How's he doing? And I mean, is he like riding out an injury or something? That's why he has been off TV for a while.
Well, he had an injury, and then when he came off of the injury, he is back on the road. He's back on the road. He's wrestling in the live events, but they haven't put him back on television yet because what they really want to do is they want to reintroduce him. And they said, we don't want to just throw you back out there. And he said, you know, cause in, you know, there's a lot of reasons that we could talk about and take us all day. But, you know, he shot out of the cannon like unbelievable, does a movie, which, by the way, to this day is the second highest grossing movie the WWE's ever done, The Marine 2. And then all of a sudden it went flat. And it's just, it's the wrestling industry. It's kind of like one day you're on top of the hill and the next day, you know, these writers come up with ideas, and if you don't fit the mold, then you're on the back burner. And it was just like, but if you talk to the guys that are still there producing the show, like Arn Anderson and the guys that were my peers that are helping these guys, you know, put on these matches, they'll all tell you he's one of the best wrestlers they've got. So, you know, and he's got this new, fresh idea, and I'm not at liberty to talk about that.
Gotcha.
they seem to like it, so we'll see.
Well, we just saw Mike McGillicuddy re-debut as Curtis Angle this past week, and
right.
they saved him for quite a while. So we're excited to see what happens. And I heard he just had a baby too last year. So
yeah,
he didn't have a baby; his wife did. But
So
your grandchild. So that's got to be pretty exciting too. You know, everything sounds pretty cool.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, I never thought that I would be jumping up and down, being oh my gosh, I'm a grandpa. But I love it.
Now, Ted, I mean, mentioning there your son, and I just wonder, you talk about your peers back in the day, and obviously, you know, there were many second-generation wrestlers in your day and things like that, but now looking at, I mean, the roster has so many people who are the children of people from your era. I mean, obviously your son, your former tag team partner, IRS, his sons, you know, Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas, and we just talked about Curtis Axel. And did you ever imagine that there would be so much of an influence these days from the second and third generation wrestlers? How proud are you of that?
I had no idea. I mean, it wasn't as prominent, you know, in my day, but it just seems like now it's just exploding. With just so many guys that are, but again, it's the uniqueness of what we do. It's kind of like a fraternity. It's like, I was never in the military, and I never went to war, and that's a unique group of people who, when they meet each other, whether they know each other or not, there's something that they understand that nobody else does. And because they've experienced it, nobody else has. And, wrestling is like that. You know, I would venture to say any sport, but, a lot of these guys grew up and they had dads that they loved and admired. They wanted to be like, and so they're following a dad's footsteps. And I'll be honest with you, my boys being wrestlers is not what I really wanted for them. Not because I don't love wrestling. It was all the junk that came along with it. You know, I mean, I wrote a book about it.
That's right.
And, it's like the lifestyle that it exposes you to. Because when you're a professional athlete or if you're a celebrity of any kind, then you don't have to look for trouble. It comes knocking on your door, and based on what the strength of your character, either you can deal with it or you don't. I had my days, and I was never addicted to drugs or alcohol. Did my share. My problem was women, and of course, that almost cost me my marriage. But because I turned my life around, because I got real serious and took the long, hard look in the mirror, everything changed, and the focus of my life changed. But there's so many guys who have been down that road, and so many of my peers that aren't with us today, that just, it's sad. And so that's my perspective as a dad. Yeah, wrestling, the entertainment of it and what you do in the ring, and to thrill a crowd, it's awesome. It's unbelievable. It's just, as a dad, you go, oh gosh, son, do you really want to do this? And after he actually had my son, when his child was born and he became a father, he called me and he said, Dad, and he said, don't say it. I said, don't say what? Don't say I told you so. He said, but I just wanted you to know I get it now, because it's going to be so hard to leave home. So, and of course, you can't explain that to a kid until he's become a parent.
Well, sometimes the bright lights, you know, it can make you miss that. But, you know, I noticed that you had just started a blog at the heartofdavidministry.com. And not only a blog, but you're also active on the social media. After coming from such a secretive business like pro wrestling, how open were you to, you know, getting online and doing social media, Twitter, Facebook? And by the way, it's at MDM Ted DiBiase if you want to follow him on Twitter. But how open were you to you know, exposing, you know, daily things online like that?
It took me a while. But, you know, but what I understand, I mean, especially now because of what my vocation in life is now, I mean, I want to, you know, I want to be able to, you know, share my thoughts and my faith and in a way where I can express it in, you know, and I'm not, again, it's like I right now I even go in spurts. It's like I get on Twitter and it's like, you know, for 2 or 3 days a week, you know, 2 weeks, you know, it's like something every day. And all of a sudden I disappear for a week. but I'm getting there. But to be able to interact with people that way and to share my thoughts and, you know, even my daily struggles, because we're all human and even the million-dollar man has really bad days, and in reality, he's not really the million-dollar man, and he's got to pay his bills too. And there's no Virgil running around here, you know, waiting on him. Matter of fact, I'm Virgil here at this house. I pick up garbage and do a lot of the laundry.
Oh, secret exposed. Very, very cool. Now, I always wanted to ask him, we were talking about your son, Ted Jr., for a while. Is it true that he did bring your million-dollar belt to school for show and tell?
Yes. Yes. And I didn't know it. And, I mean, I had a panic attack. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh, because, you know, now that this company's come out with all these replica belts, and anybody can buy a replica of my belt, and it's, you know, and of course I don't know because if I need one, I get one through the office, through the WWE, but I'm told that my belt sells for like $400, you know, which is, you know, that's a lot of money to pay for a replica belt, but.
I can confirm that.
Yeah. And,
but, you know, and it is, you know, it is an exact replica in terms of its size and, you know, even its weight. But the only difference is the stones in the replica are bigger. The stones in the actual belt were smaller, and there was like 700 of them, and they were all cubic zirconium. And so the actual belt is this 1988. You know, I had to carry around a declaration page when I crossed into any country, just in case they asked me, you know, its declared value. And its declared value at the time was like $40,000.
Wow.
And so, you know, I don't know what that would be today. But, you know, I don't own it. You know, it's property of the WWE. And if they ever actually have a physical Hall of Fame, I'm sure that's where it'll be. But I carry a replica around with me to take pictures with people with it. But yeah, my son, actually, you know, he did that. And the other thing that happened, I told this story in my Hall of Fame induction, is that we flew into Atlanta one night, and we get to the hotel. Now, I always carried the belt, actually carried that belt, and I gutted out Halliburton briefcase. We actually, it's like making a ring box out of a briefcase. And so we go to baggage claim, and I set it down, and, you know, Virgil was that, you know, that's what Virgil did. You know, anywhere in public, he would appear to be, you know, he would load the bags and all that other stuff and open doors for me, you know, and of course, then when we get to where we're going, you know, it's just, hey, what's up, you know? And so we get to the hotel, and I look down and I'm going, okay, you've got the briefcase, right, Virgil? He looks at me and he goes, no, you got it. I mean, oh my gosh, panic. So we jumped back in this limo, and I'm telling this guy, I said, you get to the Atlanta airport as fast as you can. I said, I don't care if you get a ticket. I'm the million-dollar man, and I'll pay it. And so I go to the baggage claim or to the carousel where we were, and, of course, it's not there. My heart sinks. So I go to Delta baggage claim, and I go, you didn't happen to find a gold Halliburton briefcase over there at carousel 6, I believe it was. And he reaches down, and he picks it up, and he sets it on the counter, and he said, man, he says, you have no idea how lucky you are that on a Friday night that you leave something like that sitting there that it's still here. And I said, you know what, pal? You have no idea how lucky I am. And I flipped it open and spun it around and showed him. He went, oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Now, obviously, Ted, we're really looking forward to seeing you at the Niagara Falls Comic-Con in a couple of weeks. I remember the last time I saw you was a 2CW show in Watertown last summer where I went and broke a $100 bill for you, and I was disappointed when you didn't shove the money in my mouth when I returned. how much do you enjoy, though, doing the indie appearances, the Comic-Cons, meeting the fans these days?
Well, I really do enjoy it because it gives me a chance to interact with the fans a lot more than I did when I was active. And because when I was actively wrestling, it was a constant go. And so, most of the time we were, it was like get to the town, get to the gym, get a workout, get a nap, get to the show, get back to the hotel and get out of town and go to the next place. So, of course you had those moments, in a hotel lobby or occasionally in a restaurant or something like that. But at Comic-Con and at the indie shows, because, I don't wrestle anymore. I mean, I go to the indie shows, and basically these guys ask me to come to add my celebrity to their event to help draw a bigger crowd. And people come to see me for the nostalgia of it. So it's not like I'm a real intricate part of the show. I mean, I'll be the GM or whatever, and I might do something with one of their guys, but obviously not a lot. I have new knees now, so maybe I'll be doing more. but it gives me a lot more time to actually just chat with the fans, and especially at the Comic Cons, because you're there, you're there all day. But it's good. I love it.
Very, very cool. Now, you can catch Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, June 8th and 9th at the Niagara Falls Comic-Con. We're excited. We're going to be there. Dan, you're going to bring your belt, right, for him to sign it?
My mission in life is to get that replica signed.
He wants to get the replica signed.
Remember, everybody's got a price.
I will pay. I don't care what the price is. I will pay.
All right. And, maybe we'll take a peek at the Niagara Falls when we're up there. But we're just there to see you up there next June 8th and 9th. And thank you so much for the time today, Ted. And please have a safe trip, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. And just remember one thing. Everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Oh, almost timed that out perfect. All right, we got to go to break. Caller 12, you want to go to the show on Saturday, June 8th, 222-1280, star 1280. You have to have an enhanced ID or a passport to get there because it's on the other side of the falls. But if you do, give us a call. You're caller 12, you win the tickets. 222-1280, star 1280. We got to go to break. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280, WHTK.
Let me guarantee you of one thing. Despite some recent disappointments within the club, AJ Styles ain't gonna let us down. I guarantee it.
Hey, I don't think you understand. The game around here has changed. You want to talk to him? How about you talk to me first?
DK. All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Keep on trying if you want to win those tickets. 222-1280, star 1280. We got to do some news real quick here. Ted DiBiase was awesome, by the way. Don't forget that. You're with Salvatore's, it brings you this wonderful show. The Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Join us tonight for UFC 160 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. UFC heavyweight champion Cain Velasquez defends his belt against Antonio Bigfoot Silva. It starts at 10 p.m. Come hang out with me, please. Please, I implore you. It's a lot of fun. I love UFC, and you will too. Hosted by us, prizes and drink specials all night long. It's tonight at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 160. Hey, guys, wow, what a crazy interview, man. He's awesome. Some other news we got real quick because we got a little bit behind there. What did you think about WWE using instant replay on the pay-per-view?
Oh, terrible.
Hated it.
Bad terrible.
Idea. Instant replay?
It's they've the
been
worst
talking,
idea
They've
ever.
Been talking about doing it for a while.
No. Heels will never, ever win a match then.
I know, really. I mean, there's other things you can replay, too, right?
It's the same thing as when another ref comes down and, reverses a decision. When that could happen in 50% of matches, if The refs are actually in the back watching the matches. It's a terrible idea. Everybody knows wrestling is predetermined. And so nobody's, I think it makes everybody think like, we know this isn't real. Why are they doing this? I'd rather they not do that ever again, please.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think maybe it was a one-time deal. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, you're kind of opening the slippery slope by doing that because everything is done behind the referee's back, right? Now, if you have a camera there, kind of, you know. I don't know. We'll have more to discuss on that. We got to go to break because we're a little bit behind. We need to catch up. So we'll be back after these messages. You are listening to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
We
both love fishing. We both love drinking cold beer. And most of all, we both love kicking some bass. So if you think that the cowboy should team with the shark boy, then give me a shell yeah.
This is Cowboy James Storm with TNA Wrestling, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic. And if you don't like that, sorry about your damn luck.
All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. We got a few minutes here. I'm the Cash Man, Richie Rich. I'm here with Dan Cole, DC, the Artiste, Danger Boy. Just missing Jay-Z this week, or we would have had the whole cast.
He's up in the hot tub.
He's in the hot tub of love. I call him Davros for short. He'll only get that joke. But, hey, welcome back to the show. We got, you know what, we got a little bit of time here before the end of the show, so I'm going to, we got our good friend Dave from Henrietta's on the line. Dave, what's up, buddy?
Artemis Peters, I told you.
Artemis Peters, sorry.
That's my new Curtis Axel name.
Oh, okay. I see. I'm sure there's some relativeness to your family line. That's why you call yourself that, right?
Right, yes, exactly.
Okay, gotcha. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I like the idea that I like, you know, Joe Hennig getting a push. Sorry, is that his real name? Oops. I like him getting a push. I just kind of think they did it in an anticlimactic way. Just having Paul Heyman at the 9 o'clock hour coming out, okay, this is my guy. No run-in, no, you know, heel turn or anything like that. Just kind of, it was just anticlimactic to me. And when I think of Paul Heyman, yeah, I mean, he was associated with CM Punk because he was the, you know, champion at the time. And, you know, you're used to Brock, or you're used to Heyman with Brock Lesnar, the monster. So I was expecting, like, this big, you know, monster unleashed on the WWE, and you get, you know, 6'2", 227 pounds of Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel, yeah. Who the only time you ever see him is when they have all the wrestlers on the top of the ramp for some event or something, like Mae Young's birthday cake or something, you know?
Right.
Hey, I will say this. Speaking of that, he was the guy who, when Punk came out and interrupted that, he started clapping and laughing.
That's right. I forgot.
So I'm okay with that.
Foreshadow.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
How about that?
We pinned it down 3 months ago. All right, but you know, you're right, and it was kind of anticlimactic. But what do you think they were going to do? You think they were going to bring someone up from you know, down the AAA level and bring him up?
RVD talk too.
Oh, there was RVD talk. Yeah, I heard that too. RVD's a free agent. He could show up wherever he wants. So.
He's old.
He is.
I was thinking, like, introducing Bray Wyatt or, you know, Luke Harper.
I'd love to see that, but I have a feeling those guys. I think Bray Wyatt will show up, and then he'll bring on his other guys. You know, because he's kind of like the inspirational leader of his tag team. So, you know, unless they wanted to change his whole character, but I think they're going with what he's doing. I think that when he brings him up, you know.
I'm nervous that they're going to bring up Wyatt by himself. I don't know. They have teams and groups sometimes in NXT, and then they kind of bring them up one by one, and let's hope they all come up together.
Yeah, so, you know, some people are disappointed. I'm happy to see this guy get a push because I know he can work, you know? I mean,
right.
Why can't he just be Joe Hennig, though?
Yeah.
Like, if it was Larry the Axe Hennig and Kurt Hennig, that would be paying tribute. Just using your real name is a tribute.
But they gave him the goofiest name on the planet when he first debuted, so.
Well,
you know?
Yes, that was a huge mistake.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw on Facebook what I envisioned the, WWE crowds calling him. It's not really fit for radio consumption, but
call him an axe hole. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
okay. That's not a bad word, you know.
I guess if Mr. Kennedy can use a real thing, then we can call him an asshole, right?
That's true.
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously that's going to be the chant.
It's just too bad that now, I mean, it's great to see him paying tribute to his father and his grandfather, you know, one way. I still think it should be Joe Hennig, but it's just too bad that now he has no way to pay tribute to Beulah anymore.
It's certainly a lot better than...
Good one, man. I got to get a rim shot for you there.
It's certainly still a lot better than Michael McGillicuddy, although, you know... What was it? He was a tag team champion, though, wasn't he? So he'll still be in the books as that.
Yeah. Was it Ted DiBiase he was tag team champion?
No, with? Otunga.
Oh, that's
Otunga.
Right. That's right, Otunga.
Mr. Where in the World is David Otunga?
Who cares?
Yeah,
that's
true.
The answer. Well, you know, I mean, I power to him. Let's see where it goes. You know, I mean, right now Brock Lesnar may be written off TV for a while. It seems to happen every time he gets a win, he disappears for a while. And CM Punk, who knows where, that's where in the world you got to figure out someone is where is CM Punk? He obviously on his Twitter, he says he's right where he wants to be, which whatever that means. You know, who knows? You know, he's watching hockey. He's watching hockey.
He's got Ogi Oglethorpe as his Twitter icon, his big props to Punk on that.
Yeah.
So is Triple H written off TV now, or I mean,
we're going to get the family drama.
The star of the show.
Yeah, you know, I posted something on a line this week that I looked at the numbers for WWE this past week, and every time there was a wrestling match, the numbers went down.
Right,
the viewers went down. So that's scary because then we're going to get the soap opera, and that's perfectly what's going to be happening with Triple H is the family saying, "No, you can't wrestle anymore," soap opera type deal. So, you know, I mean, you know, but that's what people want to see. Obviously, when you look at the numbers, when you see these numbers drop during the matches, so I don't know. I'm opposite.
So the ratings are better in between the wrestling.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
isn't that scary?
Yeah. It is sports entertainment, right? And it's finished, right?
And they would cross off sports if it meant more ratings. So.
Right. And I just wanted to clarify something I've mentioned a couple weeks ago. It's Cutting Edge On Demand where you can find your Spike TV.
That's right. Cutting Edge On Demand.
TNA Wrestling On Demand. So if you miss it or if your wife makes you tape something else on Thursday nights and stuff like that, or if you just want to go back and see it again, Time Warner, for Time Warner subscribers, Cutting Edge On Demand under TNA. For your Spike TV wrestling.
Thank you, Dave. You are the authority.
Hey, given the history of that show, don't want me in that one. Okay,
okay buddy. We'll talk to you later. I will respect you. Never mind. Thank you for so much for calling. Real quick, there's some injury news this past week. Rey Mysterio visited Dr. James Andrews in Florida. Says he's looking to return in the ring late August. So.
That's and then he'll get another injury, and then we'll postpone it again.
Yeah, it's like Curtis Granderson for the Yankees. He broke his finger. He's been back for 10 days in the Yankees, and he broke his finger and is out again.
Hopefully he never wins the heavyweight title again.
Yeah, okay, then we have TNA wrestler James Storm provided an update on his Twitter page saying that he has a slight tear in his right abdominal and abductor strain. He's going to be wrestling on their next pay-per-view, though, so I don't know how badly he'll be out. And TNA star Zema Ion, you might remember him. He was the X Division champion there. He likes to use the hairspray. He looks kind of like Prince a little bit, don't you think? Maybe? Mm. Okay.
And he was on that National Geographic thing.
Yeah, he was on the National Geographic wrestling show where he tried out for Ring of Honor. He was rushed to the hospital with severe stomach pains like a couple weeks ago, and he had to have he had appendicitis. He had to have an appendectomy, and while they were in there, they found a tumor. On his lower intestines, and he's not really sure what it is, but he's going to have some more surgery to take that out. But he seems to be in good spirits from the whole deal, but he's going through some stuff right now, so you may not see him for a while. Mark Henry has been quoted as coming back as a baby face in the company after his match he lost to Sheamus at the last pay-per-view.
Come on, sexual chocolate.
Yeah, no, well, he's supposed to come back as a good guy, so we'll see what happens.
He lost his smile.
Yeah, he didn't lose his smile, not yet.
Maybe he could reconnect with his son.
Yeah, the hand.
Oh, God. When they brought that back up, it was the funniest thing on TV for that the whole year.
That microphone's not even pointed at your mouth. I don't know what's going on. All right, we got to get out of here. So next week we'll have another guest who's going to be on the Comic-Con. We'll be giving away more tickets, and I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you guys for making it, and thank Ted DiBiase for coming on. We'll see you next week, folks. Da, da, da.